All right. I hope you appreciated that. We have new theme music for Aging Well Together. We'll get smoother with that, but I am so excited to welcome you all to the Aging Well Together show. We are absolutely thrilled to bring this new weekly show to you on WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro. We're coming to you on WCOM's website, WCOMFM.org. We're on 103.5 FM, and you can stream us live or through your streaming service. Aging Well Together is a weekly radio program brought to you by the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. We are a work in progress, so if you have suggestions for upcoming show topics, please email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. We always try to share local resources with you on this program, so if you want more information on any of the issues, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or you can connect directly with the Orange County Department on Aging, and they can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. I am your host, Heather Altman. I've spent the last 20-plus years working in aging services locally. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 52, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. So, fun announcement, as you may have heard, as we age into this new show, we're adding new enhancements all the time. We now have theme music you may have heard for a few moments in the beginning of the show. You got a little taste, and then as we end the show, you'll hear more. We're so excited that a local Carrboro bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, has allowed us to use their original music for Aging Well Together. And I've been a longtime fan of the band, and we're already in the works for bringing them into the studio for a live performance during... My guests are already like, yay, bringing them into the studio for a live performance during an upcoming show. So thank you, Robert Bradford, and the rest of the band. And I'll say all our mature and well-seasoned musicians. Is that a classy way to put that? So they are another part of our vibrant community here. So today's program, I know, is going to be great. I've been really looking forward to this. It is going to be a great and helpful program. I know it because I have here some of the most helpful people I know. And that says a lot because I know a lot of great and helpful people. We are so thrilled to bring you three amazing women. The trifecta of caring is what I'm calling you all. This is the Aging Transitions team for the Orange County Department on Aging. We have Kim, I always say it wrong, Layman Laperfardo.
Close. Very, very close.
Okay. Close enough. I'm so sorry. Kent, she'll fix it. Kendall McMillan and Marie Dagger, all are members of the Orange County's Aging Transitions team at the Department on Aging. Kim is a social worker and the team administrator. Kendall is a social worker and caregiver support specialist. And Marie is an occupational therapist. Combined, they have nearly 20 years of experience working with older adults in the community. We'll be talking today all about their work on the Aging Transitions team. So I'll take a break here and say welcome. I'm looking at them, Kim and Kendall and Marie. Welcome, friends.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Heather.
Well, this is fun, like all of us here together. Our listeners will have fun figuring out which voice goes with which. I have a bunch of questions to ask you all about aging transitions at Orange County and how you help so many of our community members, but I thought we'd take some time just to go around and have everyone share a little bit about yourself, your pathways of getting into helping and social service professions. So I'll turn to you, Kim, first.
Sure. Thanks, Heather. So I have a background in social work and public health and went to the University of Iowa. So go Hawkeyes, if there are any Hawkeyes listening out there in this light blue, dark blue country. We got the It always catches me when I see App State colors and I'm like, oh, wait, they're App State, not Hawkeyes. But I diverge. I came to aging kind of by way of 4-H and Girl Scouts. So as a wee one, I probably would have been part of Shanae, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. one of those intergenerational programmings through my volunteer work with those organizations. I got to be our 4-H president, and one of my favorite things that we did was do visits and friendly performances and other engagements at local care facilities in my very small hometown in Iowa. And I thought, well, this is a lot of fun. Let's continue and see what we can explore. I majored in sociology in undergrad, and in grad school got to focus on aging through an interdisciplinary fellowship on aging. So I know that Marie will tell us about a program that she participated in grad school that was very similar at UNC, where we at Iowa had folks from pharmacy, folks from nursing, the med school, social work, public health, all the disciplines get together and approach like a journal club, get to also attend some of the national conferences, National Council on Aging, American Society on Aging conferences, and then partner up with continuing care, retirement communities, adult day, and different aging service providers locally back in Iowa. So then when I moved to the area, good grief, I'm telling my whole life story here.
It's okay.
I thought, well, I had heard good things about Orange County's Department on Aging, as folks do. It's
We're that famous all the way out to Iowa?
It's recognized all over, y'all. So when I moved here and I saw that there was a position open, I put my name in the hat, got an interview, and left the Seymour Center crossing my fingers and toes saying, I hope I get a job there. And that was a little over 7.5 years ago. And Mary Frazier, who's...
Oh, we love Mary.
I know, retired from the department.
If she's listening from Florida, miss you, Mary.
She and Janice, they took a chance, and 7.5 years later, here I am, loving being part of the Aging Transitions team and getting to lead the team. So sorry for that really long-winded story of how I came to aging.
That was wonderful. I have watched your growth throughout. I've known you since you first came to the Orange County Department on Aging, and I've watched you... I don't want to sound patronizing, but there's a good segue here. I've watched you grow up and grow larger during your time here. Listeners, that is a segue to the fact that Kim is just coming back from maternity leave. She made a human over the past few months.
And Hudson Carlo will also hopefully be part of that intergenerational programming that we offer. Start him young. Start him at 6 months.
Yeah, it's great. And also, bring him around often. We all are baby crazy, and there's nothing better when we get any group of any age of folks, people together, and everyone loves to see babies. So I haven't been able to cuddle with Hudson yet. And I'm so glad we were able to. You're just back from maternity leave recently, so we're so glad to have you on the show.
We
missed you, and it's great having you back. And I've been thrilled to watch you continue to flourish in the role as the Aging Transitions Administrator. So
I credit that to the supportive, amazing team of colleagues, and also the amazing supportive team, Heather being part of our aging board, our chair, as well as just the community that we work with. It just makes it so rewarding, and you cannot ask for a better place to be a staff member and also be part of this community. So,
yeah, this show is just basically the Orange County Department on Aging's love fest. We love it, and this is our sixth show. I can't believe it. And each time we've been able to highlight, and there's so many, and today will be no exception. There's going to be lots of wonderful resources, and I love working with all of you. And now I think the newest member of the team, it's all relative. Since you've got, Janice has been, more than 30, 35 years?
I think, is it 36 or 37? Good grief.
Yeah, so by a new member, Kendall, I remember at my old job, I didn't feel like, I felt orientation was the first 10 years. So it feels all about relative.
Right.
Kendall, welcome.
Thank you. So how did I had come into aging? Is that where we're,
yeah,
we're sort of
tell
back
us
to?
Okay. About where so, you're from, how you got into this awesome field.
Yeah, so I always knew I wanted to go into one of the helping professions, which could be a number of different things. And I went to Elon University, majored in human services, and worked a lot in domestic violence, which I absolutely loved. And when I got to graduate school at UNC Chapel Hill, getting my master's in social work, they said, we want you to try something different for your first internship. So I said, okay, put me anywhere. And I ended up at a small nonprofit working with older adults and just absolutely loved it. It just was a really great population to work with. There's a growing population and so many stories to hear that I just stuck with it. And hopped around that a little bit throughout grad school and graduated into the pandemic. And thankfully, Orange County had an opening. And 3 years ago today,
oh, congrats.
Here I am.
Happy anniversary.
That worked out very well.
Celebrations. I need to get that soundboard. Every week I learn more about being a sound engineer on top of being a radio host. We need someone to go like, something.
Yes, sound effects.
But okay, so 3 years.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, well, welcome, and we'll get more into your official roles soon.
Absolutely.
Anne Marie.
Yeah, so thinking about my journey with aging, I think I've always been interested in working with older adults. I was, as Kim was talking, I was reflecting back on my youth, too. And I just remember, like, during summers when I wasn't in school, my mom would do visits with some of the older adults that weren't able to get out to come to our church services. And she would take us kids along, too. And I think that began my relationship with older adults in the small town I grew up in. Just, you know, weekdays during the summer, we just go out and visit with those handful of families, see them every single week. And my mom would, you know, just keep them up to date on what was going on in the community. But I really think that started it for me. And then just the journey of, you know, I had some of my own family members dealing with the effects of dementia and Alzheimer's and the effects that had on our broader family, and just wanting to know more, wanting to be able to make a change. And of course, it's hard to make change in your own family, mm-hmm. but knowing that for another family, I now have the opportunity to be that person to make a little bit of a difference. So, it's been a long time coming, something I've worked towards for years now. I went to undergrad up at Western Carolina in the mountains, mm-hmm. so the other mountain school. And I studied recreational therapy and Spanish there because I actually knew from high school that I wanted to be an OT. Mm-hmm. My mom's an RN, and she was like, she just would look at me and be like, I think you'd be a good OT. I think that's what you should do.
We're doing fun with acronyms. Yeah. So RN, registered nurse,
so sorry.
OT,
yes.
Occupational therapist, and we're going to, actually, this might be at a point. Could you describe what an occupational therapist is? I have gotten that question. I'm sure you've gotten it a ton.
Oodles of times.
So
oodles
you knew you wanted to be something that lots of people go, what is that?
What is that? Well, that's what I said to my mom. Like, what are you thinking? What are you talking about? But yeah, occupational therapy is this idea that all of us during our day-to-day lives engage in these occupations, these activities, these meaningful ways of doing in our lives. But at some point in our life, something is going to get a little trickier, a little bit harder. There's going to be something that, you know, impedes us being able to live in the best way that we want to be able to live. And so an occupational therapist can work with you to make those things a little bit more possible. We can't always fix everything, but we can definitely help you get a whole lot closer to whatever your life goals are. Whether that's, you know, kids who have developmental challenges all the way up to older adults who want to age in place and the entire spectrum in between that. Yeah, elevator speech.
Yeah, that was good. And I did not, you know, warn you that that was going to happen, but I love OTs.
Keeps me on my toes.
And there's some folks put OTs in a smaller box, an important box, which is you leave the hospital and maybe you need to make some assessments in your bathroom and get the raised toilet seats and get the handrails, and they think about it in terms of activities of daily living. But I love that the OTs that practice around here really looking at the fullness of how you find meaning and purpose and how you occupy your time, what your occupations are,
yeah,
and making sure there's joy.
Yeah, I get the question so often. I already have a job.
OTs are my favorite because we have two social workers staying.
I mean, but OT came from social work, mm-hmm. so we're all cousins.
Yes. It's all wonderful. Yeah. And then my public health background, yeah. we are all cousins mm-hmm. in the allied health sort of profession.
Absolutely.
So you knew you wanted to be an OT, sorry. You went to Western Carolina.
For undergrad, I was thankful that I got into UNC's OT program, which is not the easiest thing in the world. It's mm-hmm. one of the best in the country, to be honest. So I'm very grateful. My first job out of school was out of town, but it didn't take long for me to come back again. My first job out of school, I had a little bit of a commute to get there. And so I would always, you know, just turn on the radio, listen to different, you know, whatever was going on in the world. And I remember it vividly because whatever radio station had started playing holiday music before Thanksgiving. And I don't know what spectrum of things folks are on with that, but I couldn't do it. So I switched over to NPR that morning. I think it was the local Chapel Hill station that I was able to pick up.
Interesting.
And they were talking about how the Orange County Department on Aging had just received a grant to build a dementia-capable community here in the county, and that they were partnering with UNC's OT program. And I instantly knew who the partner with the OT program was. It was Jenny Womack, one of the phenomenal faculty members.
We love you, Jenny, if you're listening from, isn't she in Asheville?
She's in App State.
She's starting App State's OT program.
Bringing
it full circle around. And so I was so intrigued by that option. So I got home from work that night and I emailed Jenny that night to say, what is this grant? What's going on? Do you need people? And I think she got back to me within a few hours, to be honest. And so the interview came down the pike from there. I was hired on a week after Kim was. And that's been, like 7.5 years ago now.
And you have been, I'm not going to say the dynamic duo, but you were the newbies, the dynamic duo of newbiness. And that was quite a feather in the cap of Orange County. That was about $1 million grant that we received to become a dementia capable community. And we'll have a whole other show speaking all on those. Yeah, Kim's like, yes, we will.
So much
talk all the
about
other
there.
Projects that came out of it. But that is amazing. Mm-hmm. It has been so fun. I don't want listeners to change from our station to another station, but I love the origin story that the holiday music was offending you so much you had to switch stations, and look, you got a job. But nobody switch now. We have too many important things to talk about for anyone to switch on us. Well, thank you, Trifecta of Caring, for sharing your backgrounds. Now, let's tell our listeners all about, what do we mean by aging transitions? I'll turn back to Kim. What is the Aging Transitions Department? What does it mean?
For sure. So we actually have our own mission statement for the division within the department. So the Aging Transitions team seeks to empower Orange County older adults and those who support them to age well through programs and services that promote and enhance quality of life. And so my elevator speech to folks when I'm out in the community, when someone asks, what do? I say, I help folks age in community, whatever community looks like for them, and to find the quality of life that supports their best aging that they could dream for, they could hope for. So our team supports caregivers, supports folks who are aging themselves. We have solo agers within that population.
Define that term. Sorry, I'll interrupt every once in a while
because
these are fun terms and people may not be familiar with the term. What's a solo ager, Kim?
For sure. So I don't know the official definition, but for me, it's somebody who may or may not have adult children, but they're not living close by, as well as somebody who may or may not have had a spouse, but they may have passed or they might be separated from them. So they're aging by themselves, but that doesn't mean they're alone. It just might mean they're living by themselves in their home, mm-hmm. and then they have a larger community. And so navigating some of our systems that are built assuming that we have a family member with you to navigate this journey, whatever your transition, whatever your health concern might be.
Thank you. All right. So the folks you work with older adults themselves, their caregivers, solo agers. people first. I'm trying to think who else I send your way. And I'll say that I got a call this morning from someone who needs some resources in the area, and I'm going to send them to you all.
Pretty much, yeah. Anybody, a lot of care managers and case managers from the hospital, the home health folks as liaisons as well, getting us connected. So pretty much anybody in our community could call our aging helpline should they have a need or concern about aging in community in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And that also means we get folks calling from out of state, looking for Orange County and other states.
Oh, I have sent people to Orange County Department on Aging, and I had someone send back a link for a colleague, and it was Orange County, California's mm-hmm. Department on Aging. And I went, no. It's where you got to get that NC in there.
For sure. But then we have folks call from all over the state and all over the country because of their connection to someone who is living here. Mm-hmm. Either they themselves as the caregiver are living here and their older adult is living somewhere else, or the older adult is residing here and the family member perhaps lives in Baltimore or Seattle, and mm-hmm. they know that we know the resources to connect folks to.
Well, and I know that on previous shows we have highlighted the aging helpline. So share a little bit about that and the number. So if people are driving, we don't want you to swerve. But for those of you listening at home, get your pencil and paper ready. We'll keep giving numbers. I want to say it a few times because I know I have called. I have this number programmed in my phone, the aging helpline. But tell us a little bit about it. We talked about it on the first show, but remind listeners and the telephone number.
And I'm going to give it to Kendall just so I'm not hogging the microphone.
So our aging helpline is our information and referral helpline. So just like Kim said, anything aging related, anything community resource related, really, I always say that if you have a question, just call. And if I don't know the answer, I will find you someone who does know the answer. And that number is 919-968-2087. And we also have an email address, which is agingtransitions@orangecountync.gov. And it's a great resource that, like Kim said, we have folks from all over calling from anything as small as, where can I find a plumber in my area? Or
oh, you even give that. I didn't realize you do vendor referrals.
I'm making some searching for people. Sometimes I call myself a professional Googler.
That's awesome.
So there's some little things like just looking for a quick answer here and there, all the way up to my family member just got this diagnosis of XYZ. Mm-hmm. Now what? And that often leads to a much larger conversation or multiple conversations, office visits, home visits, whatever folks need, really.
Okay. And the phone number and email again?
Yes, it's 919-968-2087. And that email is agingtransitions@orangecountync.gov.
Okay, great. And we have such a fun radio station we're in right now. My awesome guests are looking around, and we have said each show there are bumper stickers and fun signs all around the station, and I want to start putting the aging helpline has awesome magnets mm-hmm. and other things that I want to be able to sort of also poster around the WCOM radio station. So the host, oh, wait, they're going through, I think, Maria, are you going to give me one? You're actually going through your stuff.
I'm looking to see if I have one with me.
All right, so we'll do. We keep needing to nest here and get more Orange County resources in the WCOM station. But thank you. So in terms of who makes up the Aging Transitions team, is it just the three of you? I feel like there are more people. That's not just a leading question. I am curious because I work
for sure.
With the three of you.
Definitely. So our team is really lucky. I think one of the highlights of our team that our director touts as something unique across departments on aging is we actually have two of our team members are from the Department of Social Services, and they are placed within our senior centers. So they are shared in a sense that they are part of our team, but they're able to do all the things because they are Department of Social Service staff. So they're able to help folks enroll in all of those entitlement programs. But if you're already
Medicaid.
Yes, like Medicaid, the food and nutrition assistance programs, et cetera. And if you're doing Medicare, some of those Medicare Extra Help and other programs like that. But those folks are part of our team because there's a lot of crossover, and folks come into the Seymour Center, the Passmore Center, and they're there for maybe Fit Feet or some of our other programs. They might be there creating a woodworking sculpture, and then they realize, oh, I need to talk to one of those social workers, and so they can come and make an appointment with, we've got Christy on our team at the building in Chapel Hill, the Seymour Center, and then we've got Keisha up in Hillsborough at our Passmore Center. Then we also have on our team a transportation specialist, and I think y'all chatted with
Last
Brandy.
Last week's show, Brandy, yes. All about, I didn't realize, that's right, she's part of your department. We loved it. We ran out of time.
Oh, no.
I thought, can we really talk about transportation and one person the whole time? And yes, we did. There was so much to talk about. But yes, okay, so you have Brandy Beaker.
Yes, and so she has her own transportation helpline, but... you could always call the aging helpline, and oftentimes that happens if folks are trying to get a hold of her, because that's an essential service, right? Just to even get to your appointments, get to the center. And then we have you all chatted with Allison yet or later on?
Not yet. She's all coming right. on in, I think, a few shows. I'm not sure. I have to check our schedule.
So Allison Smith is our program coordinator with our place program, and I don't want to spoil too much, but it's going to be a respite for all model, and you'll have to listen in a couple weeks to learn all the nitty-gritty details on that. But she's doing a lot of social engagement programming for folks who are living with brain change, and so it's nice because of our wraparound approach for aging transitions with occupational therapy. We'll let Marie explain kind of what that looks like on the AT team, and then our social workers, me and Kendall, are both MSWs. Keisha's an MSW. And then we have a gerontologist on our team as well, Lydia Arnold.
Oh, yes.
And so she is shared between our Volunteer Connect team and our team because some of those safety net programs that are supported by volunteers, like the telephone reassurance, those folks might end up needing more support from folks. So it's a great go back and forth. So the department really, while we have divisions, we also work together to support folks across all of the programming.
That's amazing. It's a big team. I lost count after seven or so. That's a great team.
I think it is seven of us. Then we usually end up, and I don't want to forget Matthew.
Yes.
He's our DME program assistant.
And DME being durable medical
goodness,
equipment.
Yes.
So those items like walkers, wheelchairs, shower chairs, those medical equipment items that are meant to be used over and over and over and over again.
Oh, my gosh. But what a big, great, wonderful team. And a big shout out to both Orange County Department on Aging and the Orange County Department of Social Services. I remember years ago the discussion, the dream of doing co-location, of bringing social workers from DSS, Department of Social Services, down the hill and have them both at the Department on Aging Seymour Center in Chapel Hill and then Passmore Center in Hillsborough. And that really is wonderful and a testament to our government colleagues, at which you all are. You're all part of the government system here, that you all worked well together and were able to figure that out. Because that was a dream for a while. That didn't come easily, listeners. So that's really great.
For sure. I think that when I think about our department and being part of local government, but also the way that so many folks are shared in different ways, like that DSS, like the Volunteer Connect, it makes me think of when we are referring folks to programs and services in other counties, and you have to call so many different departments, so many different agencies. The fact that we have Medicare, we have VITA, we have Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. Good grief.
We're giving each other looks every time an acronym is sent. We're like, all right, define it.
Whenever we have a new staff or intern join us, we do have a living document that's all the acronyms in aging, and I think it's at least five pages now. So definitely recognize.
Like every time we have a new intern, a few more terms are added. Mm-hmm. They're like, what's that?
Oh. That would be a fun, when we start having folks calling in more, we should do an acronym trivia game. And, you know, if whoever gets the most, I'll get them an Amante's pizza or something next door if you can define what DSS and VITA and DME and all these terms. But
for sure. But all of that to say that we bill ourselves as the one-stop shop. And I think that it really is the one-stop shop. You come in or you call the aging helpline, you talk to someone at the front desk, and you can end up getting so many of the things that you need as a person supporting or aging yourself. So I think that it really hits the mark for folks by us doing the legwork on the back end to keep it simple for the community members.
All right, so you have so many things going on. You have lots of people doing lots of different things. How does it work? So if I call or someone calls, how do they get connected? How do you decide which services? And I want to get back to this wraparound concept and really talk what that means. But how do you decide what services or how to help folks and not overwhelm them? Like, I know I'm like sitting here making notes, and I've known this stuff for years, and I'm still overwhelmed with, wait, what?
Well, I'm looking at Marie because I thought she had a really important point about like highest need, highest priority, mm-hmm. as defined by the client. And I'm going to turn it to her.
Yeah. So thinking about the times like I'm on the helpline, or we can think about like when we're doing home visits with folks too, but like thinking about those phone calls, and so often the person will just, you know, launch into their whole situation. These are all the different things that are going on. This is the situation. These are the complexities. These are the details. And so it's kind of, you know, listening to the words, but listening behind what they're saying too. And what's the issue they keep coming back around to? What are the things that they keep, you know, cycling back to? There might be 50 million things going on, and in my head I'm making like a mental list of resources, like they need this, they need this, they need this at some point in time. But it's really working with them on this is their highest priority right now, and so let's attend to that need first, and then from there we'll start a conversation, we'll start a relationship, and we can build the resources from there over time.
So if you could give a few examples just so we get a sense of what that looks like, and then can people keep calling or do you follow up? So
absolutely.
If you think of five different things I need, how does that work?
Yeah, so I think it depends on the tone I'm hearing from a person too. There's some folks who
Help now.
Yes. There's some folks where let's just deal with the one, we're not crisis, but the most crisis-like thing that they might be experiencing, we'll deal with that one thing first. Or some folks, we might deal with all five in one conversation. Just depends on how heavy those items are, if that makes sense. And so that might be, in the phone call that we'll, like, I'll give them a couple of phone numbers, we'll talk through situations, we might set an appointment. It might be as an OT, there's a lot I can do, but I know my limits. And if there's things that I don't feel comfortable diving into with a person, then I will, document that and share that with my team members. We have staff meeting every Wednesday, and we sit down and we chat through, okay, these are the cases that we talk to. These are the people we talk to this week. These are the tricky situations that came up. What can we do for this person? What can we do for this family? And who among us is best suited to serve that person?
All right, so I did not tell you I'm going to do this. So this is the call that I got this morning from a colleague. A colleague called me and said a friend of hers, a mother, just diagnosed with dementia, and the family is swirling a bit. They're not sure what to do. The mom's not in crisis, but has a new diagnosis of dementia, and they want to figure out how to support her, and specifically there's a need for her to have some support taking a shower. So this was the voice message I got this morning, and I haven't had a chance to respond back. I will send her over to you all. So well, this is kind of fun. How would you handle that situation? They're looking at each other. Who should take that one?
This is a quintessential helpline
absolutely.
Call.
We get these all the time.
This is, okay. What a great example.
And it's definitely one we would, it could go a number of different ways. Like Marie said, that first need that they're identifying is that need taking a shower, help taking a shower. And that could mean a lot of different things. You know, with dementia, it could be, just remembering to take a shower or remembering the steps, all the different components, because taking a shower is something I think we all take for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, we do it, you know, most days, hopefully. And, you know, we
unless
have our steps. Yes. And so we have those steps we go through in our head, and everyone does it a little bit differently as well. And so that's a lot of pieces for someone whose brain is changing to keep up with. So that could be one piece. It could also be that there's risk of falls in the shower. That showers are places where people have falls. Things get slippery, and there's not things to grab onto. So it could be coaching them through that support and kind of cueing someone through those different steps. It could be maybe we need to put some bars in there so that person can grab onto, or a chair so they can sit down. Mm-hmm. Or they may need some supervision. They may need help. And that's a question we get a lot is, you know, who can help me with this? Because there's that assumption that I've got an adult child, or I've got a spouse who's going to be there every single day to help me with this. And even if you do have someone in the home, that's a lot for someone to do. And sometimes you need someone else.
And I will say, so it was actually a pretty in-depth voice message that my colleague left me. And they said the husband is just not comfortable washing her hair.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there is a spouse there. But I thought that's a really specific, not even just showering, but need someone to come in and help her wash her mm-hmm. hair. All right, so then you'd go through the showering. But then that larger question, which I know you must get because I get all the time, we have a new diagnosis of dementia. What does this mean now? What?
Multi-pronged approach there, too, yes. I would say. And it just depends. Yeah, it depends on what they're comfortable with, depends on what they're interested in. I think base level, you know, kind of low stakes option would be to attend one of our classes all about dementia. Kendall, is it this month, actually, that's about MCI?
Yes.
So Kendall and I, every once.
Yes, this month, sorry.
So once the third Tuesday of every month, Kendall and I do a Zoom program. Just, you know, it's called Dementia, Let's Talk About It. Mm-hmm. And so we pick a different topic every month and dive into something related to brain change. And so this month's program happens to be about MCI, which is mild cognitive impairment, which is a diagnosis somebody might get if they're noticing, you know, slight changes with their cognition, if their physician thinks it might be dementia, but they're not sure yet. It's kind of this, you know, we know something's different, but we don't quite know what it is that's going on. So that might be a low stakes place to start. We also, once a quarter, have a whole 4-part program about dementia. So our next one is in, Mondays in August, mm-hmm. At the UNC Meadowmont Wellness Center. And that's just, we spend 2 hours about the basics of how the brain works, 2 hours on types and stages of dementia, 2 hours on communicating with a person with dementia, and 2 hours about resources. So if somebody just want, if they just want to sit in the audience and receive information, mm-hmm. That's, you know, kind of a low stakes way of just kind of having an introduction.
Okay.
Another option would be just to sit, you know, ask for a one-on-one appointment with one of us, mm-hmm. and just to sit down and talk through their situation and what's going on and their diagnosis. And we're glad to just share with them what we know about their situation and just help them try to understand what might be going on for that person.
Great. Wait, Kimmy, you were going to say something.
I was just going to jump in with the one-on-one consultations. Our entire team, we are so lucky in Orange County to have Tipa Snow, who's internationally renowned in the brain change space. And
the goddess of all things dementia and brain change.
Definitely. Yes. And so in partnership with them, their team, all of our team went through their positive approaches to care, either coach or consultant or trainer trainings, as well as the Alzheimer's Foundation of America Dementia Care Partnership trainings. So we have extensive, anyone on our team that you meet with can do these consultations to support families to kind of start where they are and help them kind of unpack what their needs might be.
That's great. So people can call and they can be set up. Is there a cost for these one-on-one? You're all shaking your head. No, we're on radio, so they're not hearing the shakes. Those were very emphatic no shakes. This is a free, this is your taxpayer dollars
Absolutely.
At work.
Every once in a while, somebody will want to pay me for a home visit, and I'll say, no, you've paid your taxes. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, so
that's totally free as a part of being a county resident.
And that's amazing because you just used the term home visit. So this is not just folks coming and meeting with you, but you'll actually go to their home
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can do home visits if folks are working during the day and it's easier to do a Zoom visit with us, mm-hmm. a phone call, an office visit. We will meet folks where they
literally where they need to be.
Where they need to be.
This is so amazing, and it's so helpful because I'm thinking about when I respond back. This is... And I know we wanted to talk about some of the examples of why people call in the services. And then I thought, well, this just happened this morning. And I also know when you do the home visits, Marie, I think it's when you go, you're also able to do a home safety assessment, correct?
Absolutely. I was actually just chatting with Kendall earlier this week. I feel like I do the most home visits of anybody on the team because a large part of my work is these home safety consultations. So it could be somebody has had a fall or maybe they've had an oh no, whoops, that was close mm-hmm. kind of situation.
The near miss.
Those near misses, yeah. Or they've just come home from the hospital or they're prepping for a surgery or maybe nothing's wrong at all and they just want to plan ahead mm-hmm. for the future and what the future might hold. I can go out to that person's home, meet with them, learn a little bit more about their situation, their concerns, what's going on in their life. And then we literally take a walk around their house together. And we look at each of those spaces that they spend their time in and, you know, think through, is there anything they're concerned about there? What am I noticing? And what can we do to tweak those spaces to make sure that they support their needs now, they support their needs down the road, too?
And what are you didn't know I was going to ask this, but I'm sure there are the top four or five things that every house, when you're looking at, I can already think of the things that we did in our house or my parents' house. So I won't steal your thunder by guessing what they are, but the top things that most homes, when you look at, all right, this would be helpful to do X, Y, Z.
Well, I know the top one that's probably on your mind, too, and I joke that I've had a tour of the bathrooms of Orange County.
Yes.
I spend so much time in folks' bathrooms because that's not necessarily where the most falls happen, but it's where the most dangerous falls happen, mm-hmm. the most falls that cause injury. And so, yeah, making sure that there are supportive handholds in that bathroom, I'd say, would be the biggest thing.
Which is not your towel rack.
Not your towel rack.
Or your curtain rod.
It is not the curtain rod. It is not the washcloth rack. It is not the doorknob. Mm-hmm. It is not the toilet paper holder.
Yes, those things are not strong enough.
They will not hold your body weight. So talking through folks with, like, even if you're just using it as, like, a touch and balance point nail, you're building that muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And we want to build muscle memory that will support your body weight in an emergency.
And it's not that expensive. I know I did that with my family, bringing in someone to do just a little bit, you know, better handrail right in the bathroom, mm-hmm. I think. One of it, and it was very fancy. My mother got to pick out what. Ooh, I like that
fun.
Brushed nickel, and you know.
Yeah, so they have so many options
we're looking
now.
Probably like $50 to $100, which is you know money to some, but to avoid a fall.
To avoid a fall, it can be worth it. And if that just feels like an unattainable cost, I don't know if y'all have talked about the Handy Helpers program.
We have not. Please share that.
Yeah, so that is, it's out of our volunteer division, but that is a group of retired folks who know the ins and outs of grab bars. They knew the ins and outs of railings and ramps and those kind of, you know, low-key home modifications that can make such a big difference in somebody's life. And so if affording these things is challenging for somebody, these volunteers donate their time, and then the cost of the materials is based on a sliding scale, based on that person's income. So we can, as long as they're an Orange County older adult, we can make those grab bars happen. As long as they own their home, rentals, we don't have too great of an option right now.
Okay. And in terms of older adult, is that, we always have fun with numbers, is that 60 and older?
I think for Handy Helpers, is it 55 and up?
I think
so. I'm getting close. Okay, that's why I checked, because certain programs are 55 and older, certain are 60, some are 62, some are 65. All right, so if you're over 55 and need some help around the house, there's Handy Helpers. So clearly lots of things around the bathroom.
Other, I would say watching out for lighting is a big one.
I wanted it to be a game show because I was going to say lighting, because that's what I remember that was big in my house and my family's house.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of us maybe are comfortable with lights that aren't so bright or we've gotten used to having them that way. But as we get older, our eyes actually need more light in order to perceive the same way that we did when we were younger. That's aside from any brain change, aside from any you know, physical changes in your eyes.
Oh, it's a constant issue at my house with my husband. I'm constantly saying, we need lights. We need more light. I want to go and change all the light bulbs. I have found it in the past 2 years. The light wattage isn't working for me now. I need everything.
Yeah, gotta bring it up. And that, yeah, might be changing out the light bulbs. It might be adding a fixture. There are all kinds of battery-operated LED options now. So if an electrician isn't in the budget, there are options.
And we have a sensor light in the bathroom because those middle-of-the-night bathroom trips. All right, well, thank you. I know I put you on the spot. In terms of, so folks are calling you, you're connecting them with services. I was going back to that plumber, vendor example. So Kendall, for this, it's not even a hypothetical. In the case of this family that called me, if they are going to need help with bringing someone into the home, that's a huge question I get all the time too. Where do you turn if they do want someone to come into their home to help?
Absolutely. It's an individual situation for sure that is all about a couple of different things. Budget is always one factor because
it's expensive.
It is very expensive, and we don't pay direct caregivers enough in this country, so it should be more expensive. But it adds up very quickly. So that's one piece that comes in. And then also just your comfort with having someone come in. Some people, you know, just like this person did not want her husband or husband helping in the shower. Some people don't want a stranger helping in the shower. So it's all about kind of gauging that person's comfort with someone coming in and what they're wanting help with. And then we start looking at the different options that are available in the area, and that could be looking at home care agencies. We have a lot of really great home care agencies that are slowly starting to build their staff back up, and we're able to refer folks there.
It's been a rough few years.
Yes, it absolutely has. So we are lucky to have connected with a lot of these great agencies and can kind of point folks in directions of folks that are local and that we know happen to have some availability recently. And then we also keep a directory of private caregivers. So folks who don't necessarily work for agencies, just work for themselves, and we do background checks, reference checks, and interviews with these folks, and compile a list, get that out to the community so that they've got options as well.
Ooh, that's great.
Of some other people who they can build that one-on-one relationship with, which I find to be particularly helpful when folks are living with some brain changes. With agencies, sometimes you get some turnover. You get new people who are are coming in and out, and if you have one person, then you build that relationship, you get comfortable with them, and that helps as your brain continues to change. And then going back to that budget piece as well, there's a number of different funding opportunities throughout the state that we can get people connected with. Some of it is local funding, some of it is statewide funding. So depending on need and availability, we can screen folks for those services as well.
So basically the moral of this show is just call the aging helpline. I don't think... You know, where I'm going to have you come on another time, we're going to be like, stump the experts. And like, where people just have, but that, you know, or the issues that we know that are coming up that we're being asked about, and we can have our own sort of group. All right, how would we handle this? But I have a feeling there's not much I could say that would stump the three of you. You seem to have a good way to support all kinds of situations. So we definitely want to encourage people to call the Aging Helpline. We have a little bit of time left, not too much, but what I do want to make sure is that you've had a chance to highlight any of the services that I've heard a lot of things, the Handy Helpers, we have the information and referral line through Aging Helpline, we have home visits. What else? We did transportation all last week. What other services should people know about?
Yes, I know Marie mentioned some of our educational programming, so that's one piece definitely. And just kind of other group programming, we also do caregiver support groups. So right now we have three caregiver support groups, one that's meeting at our Seymour Center in Chapel Hill, one that meets at our Passmore Center in Hillsboro, and then one that meets virtually on Zoom. So we try and catch folks anywhere they are in the county. And you don't necessarily have to be a county resident to attend those. And we just say anyone who can get to us. But those are really great spaces for folks. You know, I can talk and share what I have read in books and read from other people and learned from clients all day long. But there is just something about sitting next to someone who's going through something very similar to you or maybe very different from you. And you can learn from, you know, what the future might look like or how someone's doing things differently.
And the key that I always say to folks, you're not alone.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. So then you have the care. Thank you for reminding the caregiver support programs. You have the education programs. And I do think we're going to have to start the Aging Well Together bingo, because there's a few phrases, lingo bingo, and I have yet, nobody here has mentioned yet, but we say it on every show, is endless possibilities. The endless possibilities, I gave LaTanya such a hard time when she called it a newsletter. I said, this is not a newsletter. This is a catalog. This is a booklet. And so I'm assuming all of the programs that you talked about, the caregiver support, the education, aging helpline, if you pick up a copy of Endless Possibilities, which is the catalog of programs, or if you go online,
it's all in there.
To what is that? Orange County. What's our website here?
It's orangecountync.gov/aging.
Okay. All right. So then other programs, but I realized we had not done a shout out yet of the show to Endless Possibilities, and everything we're mentioning here is there. All right. Other programs.
Tangent to the Endless Possibilities publication, we also have a monthly caregiver newsletter, e-newsletter.
Oh.
So if there's anybody who specifically wants information relevant to caregivers and resources and the support groups and the education programs, we have that newsletter that comes out at the beginning of every month and just kind of highlights what's coming up next for us. So
I need to get on that
list.
Yeah,
so folks want just that dropped in their inbox. We don't spam you, I promise. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing we send you. It's great. You can just sign up through that through our website, or if you can't find it, just call the helpline or email the helpline and we'll get you linked to that too.
Great. And I did want you to mention really quick, because you mentioned really quickly the telephone reassurance line. Do you want to mention what that is and how people get connected with that?
For sure. So the telephone reassurance program has been in existence since before the pandemic, but during the pandemic definitely added so many volunteers and so many folks receiving daily telephone calls, kind of well checks, but then a little bit of socialization as well. And that program is really out of our Volunteer Connect, because it's volunteers making phone calls to other community members, but folks will come through the aging helpline, or family members will ask that this individual receives a phone call daily. And it's great because that provides that ongoing connection. And there's some folks in the program who every Wednesday a certain gentleman will be mowing his lawn, so they know he's not going to answer. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, he answers at 9. But on Wednesday, he's mowing his lawn. So don't worry about him. He's well. Call him at a different time of the day. So
So there's so many great programs, and I want to make sure we didn't miss any of them, because I realize I hate that we're coming to the end. But so anything else? Kendall's looking down at her cheat sheet.
I've got a list. I think we've touched on everything. We kind of alluded to our options counseling program. That's kind of those individual consultations with a little bit of structure on just kind of how to do those long-term plans, figure out, you know, what's working for me in my situation right now, what's not working for me, you know, what resources are out there. I do a little bit of clinical counseling and short-term therapy as well.
So people can come and see you ongoing, and there's no cost to that?
There is no cost. It's short term. I usually cap it around 3 months or so, but it's, you know, it's hard to find a therapist these days. Everyone's really full, so it can be nice to kind of fill the gap or deal with some transitions that are happening.
And how old do folks need to be for this service? Is this 55 or 60? Which one?
That's about 55, or a caregiver of an older adult as well.
I might be able to get in on that. Yes. We're 3 years from now. All right. So in our few minutes left, I want to just ask you each just to take a minute or so to talk about your most rewarding work, what you find rewarding about this work, or you can connect it. I know I was supposed to ask about outcomes, so however you want to connect those, your basic last comment here. I'll start with you, Kim.
I'm just thinking about a community member who recently passed, but we worked with her for such a long time, and getting to be a part of her journey and help her family and getting her connected with resources so that she was able to live in her home until she passed, which was her hope and goal, with the supports that we were able to offer and the relationship that we built with her, that she was just... she felt like family. And that's kind of, they talk about boundaries in social work, and it's the folks you work with just really become such an important, special part of your life, and knowing that you're doing things to make their life what they hope it is and can be is really That's the most touching.
That's beautiful. And last few words from Kendall and then Marie.
I would echo that as well. Just the people that we get to meet and the connections we get. I was, you know, out seeing folks this week and hearing their stories about all the things they've done in their lives and just all the wisdom folks have to share. And also seeing the relationships and being a part of that kind of intimate journey that folks have with the folks they're caring for. It's a really special connection to have with people.
Oh, thank you.
Ditto, all of it. But I think, you know, just from the, like, OT, occupational therapy perspective, that side of things, I love the moment when I make some suggestion or some recommendation and a person just looks at me and is like, well, that makes so much sense. That's so much easier. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can get in and out of my bathtub. I can put on my own socks. I can, you know, get in and out of my house or my vehicle or whatever it is, whatever, you know, obstacle that they've been wanting to do, but they can't quite at the moment. And maybe it's just one little tweak in the environment, the way they're going about it, and all of a sudden the world's opened up again. It's the best feeling.
Well, that's wonderful. And my cheeks hurt because I'm smiling so much as I look at all of them. But you help so many folks have that aha moment. And so for our listeners, thank you so much. If you want to learn more, please call the Aging Helpline at 919-968-2087. These wonderful women and their colleagues will help provide the support for you. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to the Aging Well Together show on WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro. If you have any comments about today's show or need any resources, email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And if all goes well, I'm now going to play you out. And many thanks to the Robert Bradford Quartet for giving us our music. So be well, everyone.